Halloween of 2005 will always have a special place in my memory, but in this case, special doesn't altogether mean good. Me and my circle of high school friends were all high school sophomores, which meant that there was a lot of transitioning going on in our lives, and the way we celebrated Halloween was changing too. We'd spent our childhoods trick-or-treating, and a lot of the time that was in the company of a chaperone. Then from like 12 to 14, we'd been allowed to go trick-or-treating on our own. But now that we were like 15 going on 16, we figured that we were too old to go begging for candy. And unlike the year before, there was no Halloween parties, at least none we'd been invited to in any way. This meant that we were stuck for something to do on what had become one of our favorite nights of the year, and the way we saw it, we needed to fix that, and fast. I know we could have just met up at one of our parents' places for pizza and horror movies, but trick-or-treating had conditioned us with a need to be outside on Halloween. On such a special, spooky night of the year, we needed to be out there, in the dark, soaking up that feeling of excitement in the air. The night before Halloween was a Sunday that year, and I remember that very well, because I spent almost all day glued to MSN Messenger, checking to see if anyone had found anything fun for us to do. Then, out of nowhere, our friend Brian came in with a clutch, telling us that we could hang out with his older cousin Cody and his friends over at some abandoned school down by the river. Cody and company were a few years older than us, and they went to a different high school, but we'd hung out with them before. And word was that they were getting a few 12-packs of Bud Light that they didn't mind sharing if we each pitched in a few bucks. And it was music to my ears. Who cared if we weren't invited to some dumb costume party with other sophomores? We were going to have a campfire, tunes, and most importantly, beer. Halloween itself fell on a Monday, and the whole day at school, me and my friends were all super psyched for that night. I get home, eat some food, and get some homework done. Then, right as I'm getting ready to head out, my mom pokes her head into my bedroom and drops a bomb on me. She wanted me to walk my little brother around the neighborhood so he could go trick-or-treating. It meant that I'd be an hour late to our Halloween hangout, at the very minimum, and I was not happy about that. But since Mom told me it was that or face being grounded, I just sucked it up and did as I was asked. Maybe an hour and a half later, I get my brother back home, then immediately rush out again, calling my friends to make sure that they're at the hangout spot. I find out that they are, so I practically run the whole way, hoping there's still a few cans of Bud Light with my name on them. When I arrive at the hangout spot, I find it's this abandoned kindergarten that's all fenced off and derelict. I can hear the music playing already, and I can smell the campfire smoke too, but after finding the hole in the fence and rocking up to the hangout, I don't see any beer except for what's in people's hands. And that's when the guys tell me that they've stashed the beers in some abandoned house behind the back fence, and that since I was late, it was my turn to go get everyone a fresh one. They said that their logic was that if the cops showed up, they wouldn't be able to take all the Bud, just what people were drinking. If we got busted, we could just bail and circle back and grab the beers and carry on with our night somewhere else. This made perfect sense to me at the time, so I go off towards the fence where there's yet another hole in the plastic chain link fence. I don't know what the deal was with there being two abandoned properties so close to each other, but the back of the kindergarten basically led right onto the empty home's backyard. It was all overgrown and stuff, so I had to basically wade through all this long grass as I walked towards the back door and these two big panel windows. It was dark, but I'd been given a flashlight and directions on where the beer was stashed. But then as I'm walking towards the open back door, I hear someone moving on the inside. Seconds later, under the beam of my flashlight, I see a figure emerge in the doorway. They were limping, trying to move as fast as they could, and as soon as they came into view, I recognized them as one of the older kids from Cody's group. Immediately, I'm panicking because not only did they appear to be hurt in some way, but they had this look of absolute terror on their face when they realized that I was there, and he cried out, "Dude, help me!" I'm too freaked out to even ask what's going on at first, but then right as I'm about to do something, the guy screams as someone behind him starts trying to drag him back into the house. I knew that I had to help, but I also knew that I couldn't do anything just on my own. I had to go get the other guys. I bolted back towards the rear of the yard, pushing myself through both sets of fences, one wooden, one plastic chain link, until I'm back at the abandoned kindergarten. I run the whole way there, hurtling around the corner of one of the derelict buildings until I was back in the company of my friends. Then right as I'm about to tell them that we need to go get help, they just crack up laughing. I'm talking wheezing, wailing, screeching, rolling on the floor kind of laughing, and I realize that I'd just been pranked hard. Everyone's all like, "You should have seen your face," doing dumb impressions the way I was running, and to be fair, it was pretty funny. At least for a moment or two. I remember just standing there, taking it on the chin, nodding along as if to be like, "Alright, you got me." Then after a while, one of Cody's buddies calmed down enough to ask me what Jay had done. Jay was the one I'd seen in the doorway, the same guy who had begged for help in such a convincing way that it was nothing short of Oscar-worthy. And when I told them all that, they started cracking up again. Apparently, they'd been planning to prank me as soon as they found out that I was going to be late, and as soon as I'd placed my little confirmation call on the way out, Jay had gone off to hide in preparation for my arrival. But then, I mentioned to the guys how the thing that had made me run was how Jay had gotten grabbed from behind, then dragged back into the house. I assumed that they'd send someone else with him to make the whole thing more convincing. But then when I mentioned the grabbing thing, the laughter started to fade. I remember Cody being all like, "What? Who got grabbed?" But I took this as him playing dumb, a prank within a prank, if you will, prankception. I repeated what I said about Cody being grabbed, and the laughter peters out completely. Cody gives one of his buddies this worried look, then turns back to me like, "Please tell me you're kidding me." I told him no, swearing that I'd seen someone grab him and that the whole screaming for help thing seemed a little too convincing. And then it hit me. Someone attacking Jay had not been part of the prank. What I'd witnessed wasn't some well-executed way of frightening me. It had actually been real. The thought must have hit everyone else right at the same time, but instead of standing there all dumbstruck like me, they just went hurtling off in the direction of the abandoned house. I followed, feeling extremely guilty that I should have done something right there and then instead of rushing back to get help. We pushed our way through the fences as fast as we could, and I can hear the older kids yelling ahead of us, "Jay! Jay, where are you, man?" Flashlight beams are zooming everywhere as they piled into the house, checking every room until they found him. And when they did, they found a total mess. Jay had been beaten up so bad that I could hardly recognize him. I'd seen his face maybe only a few minutes before, but in that time, someone had seriously worked him over. There was blood all over his mouth, and some of his clothes were ripped, but the thing I really remember was how he was awake, but he'd just been lying there because he said that he couldn't move. Every time someone tried to get him up, he'd clutch his chest and cry out. There were a few seconds where we thought that he might have been stabbed or shot or something, and we had to make sure that the only blood was coming from his mouth before we were able to breathe a small sigh of relief. But still, it was only a small one. If he was hurt so bad that he couldn't get up, there was seriously something wrong with him. Because we were on some old abandoned property, the firefighters had to cut through chains that were holding the gate shut in order to get Jay on a stretcher. And because the 911 call had mentioned some kind of violent assault, the cops showed up not long after the firefighters did. Thankfully, they weren't interested in the fact that we'd clearly been drinking, and were much more concerned with how Jay had ended up being taken to the hospital. Obviously, I had the most to tell them, but even then, it wasn't much, and we had to wait until Jay was out of the hospital to really figure out what happened. Not that we didn't visit him when he was there, he just wasn't in any mood to talk about it. Whoever had attacked Jay broke his ribs, broke the bone around his eye, and had kicked him so many times in the stomach that he had internal bleeding. As you can imagine, he was in the hospital for quite a while afterward, and in that time, the cops conducted a full investigation, keeping his parents in the loop the whole time so they knew what was happening. Long story short, the empty house across from the derelict kindergarten was being used as a stash house. The other guy said they'd checked the place out earlier that evening but hadn't heard anyone moving around upstairs, so they just assumed the place was empty. Little did they know, there was some guy upstairs, probably some low-level dealer or something, and course, he's paranoid and losing his mind because he can hear voices coming from downstairs. Then, later on, Jay decided to explore the house a little to work out the best place to jump scare me, which is how he ended up walking up the stairs. He said when he got to the top, it was just like, wham. The guy came out of nowhere and basically kicks him back down the stairs, and that's about the same time I appeared in the garden and turned on my flashlight. Jay gets up, limps to the door, sees my flashlight, and the rest, you already know. I think what happened that night amounts to the single scariest thing that's ever happened to me as a kid or as a teenager, and to this day, I've never seen anyone look as scared as Jay did when he looked into the beam of my flashlight and cried out to me, "Help." I just wish I did something.
Years ago, when I was a kid, I used to go trick-or-treating with my friend Michael every Halloween. Afterwards, we would hang out and eat our candy that we got while watching scary movies. On this one year, Michael and I went trick-or-treating around my neighborhood, which was pretty big, and afterwards we got back to my house. Then we put on a movie, and the plan was for Michael to spend the night. Shortly after we got home, my mom, who was the only other person home, said she was going to bed. It was only 9 p.m., but she had work early the next morning. We were watching a scary movie in the living room after that, and got probably about 30 minutes into it when I heard a knock coming from the front door. It really startled me because of the fact that we were watching a scary film. Then, I remembered how it was Halloween, and I stopped being scared because I figured it was just a trick-or-treater, so I started to walk towards the door. But as I got closer, I remembered how late it was, almost 10 p.m., and there weren't really people trick-or-treating out this late. I decided to just take a look out of the window first to see who it was. I peeked out from behind the blinds and saw a creepy-looking man standing at the front door. He looked pretty tall and was skinny with a little beard. He also had sunglasses on, but didn't appear to be in any kind of costume. I had a bad feeling about it, so I decided not to answer the door, and Michael, who was still on the couch, asked me who it was. I told him a creepy-looking dude was there, and I wasn't answering. I watched as the man looked around for a little while, and then finally walked away. I was really happy to see him go, because as a 12-year-old kid, I got scared pretty easy. I went back and resumed the movie. But I would say just about 10 minutes later, we heard a knock coming from the door once again. We ignored it until they knocked again at a louder volume. I wanted to call my mom, but I knew she was sleeping and had to be up early for work, so I didn't. Michael and I both walked quietly over to the window this time and looked out. But as soon as we pulled the blinds back, we saw the man standing at our front step looking directly at us. I made eye contact with the man, who had an angry look on his face. We quickly covered the window back up and ran away back to the living room. We were just hoping that the man would decide to go away, but instead, we heard the knocking once again, but not at the door this time. Now it moved to the window where we had been looking out of. We couldn't see him from the blinds, but we knew that he was right on the other side. I was starting to freak out, but Michael said maybe it was just some guy trying to scare people on Halloween. I hoped that was the case, and the knocking from the man moved from one window to another. He seemed to be making his way around the house to the back. Then we didn't hear anything for a short time. All Michael and I could really do was sit there and listen. Then suddenly, we heard the loud sound of glass being broken. It sounded like it was coming from the back of the house at one of the basement windows. When we heard this, Michael and I both went running upstairs to my mom's room like 5-year-olds. When we got upstairs, we woke her up and told her someone had just broken into the house. My mom got out her phone and called the police, and also locked the door to her bedroom. Michael and I hid under her bed while we heard her talking on the phone to the police. Then we just had to wait for the police to arrive. We heard the man walking around downstairs, but he never came up the stairs. Eventually, we stopped hearing him, and by the time the police showed up, he was gone. This happened my freshman year of college. I went to a pretty big university, and over time, I met a decent amount of people and had a few groups of friends that I would hang out with. By the time Halloween rolled around my freshman year, I had plans to go out with some of my friends. I dressed up as a nerd and we went out to a few of the bars around campus. As it got later, a few of my friends wanted to go to one of the bars in town that was pretty strict. Being 19 at the time, I figured I wouldn't get in. I told them they should go ahead, and I Snapchatted a few of my other friends asking what they were doing. One of my friends named John told me about a party he had been invited to. He said it was supposed to be really big and asked if I wanted to go with. To me, this was perfect because I wasn't tired yet and still wanted to hang out with people. I told him I'd go and I walked to the edge of campus and met up with him. We then walked a few blocks to where the address was that John told me. We saw what appeared to be the house. We could just barely hear the music coming from inside and saw a kid wearing a basketball jersey and sunglasses sitting out front drinking a beer. We walked up and John greeted the kid, who I guess knew him. He introduced me and the kid said his name was Jake. Then we both walked inside the house, and the first thing we noticed was a little entryway filled with shoes. We took off ours, and then we went through another doorway into a room where we saw a speaker blaring music, but nobody was in the room. Immediately, I got a bad feeling, and as I started to walk forward to the next room, I heard footsteps coming from behind us. John and I turned around and saw two large men enter the room with baseball bats. They had on ski masks over their faces, so I couldn't tell anything about them, but they appeared to be well over 6 feet tall. One of the men shouted that they would hurt us unless we did what they said. Then they ordered us to go into the next room that appeared to be at the back end of the house. I was terrified and John looked stunned and pretty scared as well. The next room appeared to be the kitchen. There was a little table with a chair there, and it also had a stove and a sink, then the back door to the house. There was also a wooden door cracked open that led to the basement, which is where the two men told us to go. They stood about 6 feet behind us, with their bats in their right hand and their left hands pointing. As we were walking towards the door, John nudged me, and just as I looked at him, he suddenly darted for the back kitchen door, which I saw him pull the lock back and open it all in the blink of an eye. Without even really thinking, I followed him and ran as quick as I could to the door. I had a strong rush of adrenaline as I did, and I heard the men behind us start to yell and run after us. I literally rammed into John as he ran out the door, and I almost tripped over him. As I was almost out the door, I could hear the men getting closer and felt the back of my right leg get hit with probably a baseball bat. It got me in my upper right calf, and it hurt really bad. But the adrenaline kept me going out the door, and I followed John around the side of the house. The longer we ran, the more my leg throbbed, but we seemed to get a little bit farther away from the men who were behind us, and as we passed by two garbage cans that were on the side of the house, I pushed one of them over to try to slow the men down. John started yelling as he ran, and by the time we reached the street, we didn't notice the men chasing us anymore. I ran with John all the way back to campus before I basically collapsed from being tired and the pain from my leg. We called the police and then told them the address of the house and everything. Apparently, by the time they showed up, nobody was there, and the house was vacant at the time, but was owned by a guy who typically rented to students. I'm sure that John and I narrowly avoided something terrible that night, and I had a really sore leg for a few weeks, but other than that, I was fine.
If you really like my content and want to support me, please like this video and click the subscribe button. It helps me to grow my channel as essential in reaching a wider audience. Most of you watching my videos aren't subscribed to my channel, and that's why my animations can't reach their full potential. They aren't recommended to more people who would surely love my content as much as you do. You can always unsubscribe at any moment. Thank you in advance, and enjoy the rest of the video.
This story happened 2 years ago on Halloween, and is one of the most disturbing things to happen in my life. I'm a father of a boy who is now 8 years old, but was 6 at the time of this story. I went out trick-or-treating with him and my wife around our neighborhood, which had quite a few kids in it, and it was a pretty busy night. We stayed out maybe 2 hours until my son got tired and was satisfied with the amount of candy that he had. Then we walked back home and went inside. We had just left a bowl of candy out front of our house while we were gone, which was empty by the time we got back, even though it was only 8 o'clock. Only about a minute after we got back inside, as my son was starting to dig into his candy, the doorbell rang, which I knew was likely another trick-or-treater. I opened the front door to see a little boy about the age of my son and his father standing there smiling. I called to my wife to ask if we had more candy as the man said hi to me. I noticed that his son was kind of jumping up and down, and the man said he was really sorry, but his son had to use the bathroom, and said they were about a 30-minute walk from their house. I saw my wife give me a look from across the room, and I didn't really want to let them in the house, but I figured I had to, so I told them they could. The boy ran down the hall, and I walked over to my wife. She said she didn't like the idea of people just walking into our home, and I didn't either, but the dad seemed nice enough. I told my wife everything was fine, and about a minute later, the boy returned with his father, who said thank you several times. I handed him a little candy, and they went on their way. At that point, it was a relief to me that they were gone from the house, and the rest of the night, we got quite a few more trick-or-treaters. Finally, after that, we all went to bed. Everything was good until I was woken up in the night to the sound of my son yelling and running to my bedroom. My wife and I got up and saw that he was right outside our room, saying that a man had climbed in his window. I ran down the hall into his bedroom and saw his window was wide open, with the man who had been in our house earlier getting outside of it. This was a horrible feeling, but I was just glad that my son seemed to be okay. I chased after the man, but he got out of sight, so at that point I decided to call the police. I was quite angry until they arrived. We told them everything, and my wife and I stayed up for the rest of the night. For the next few days, we slept with our son in our bedroom with us, until we finally received news that the police had found the man. We were told that the boy who came into our house to use the bathroom was not the man's actual son, but a boy who had been abducted by him a whole year prior. This news was very disturbing to hear, but the boy was returned to his family, and I'm just glad that the man was brought to justice. Last fall, my girlfriend and I went to a pumpkin patch. It was a yearly tradition for us to carve pumpkins, so we were going to get the best ones that we could find. This pumpkin patch that we went to was owned by a nice old couple that ran it every single year. We had gone the previous year, so we came back again for a second time. We went on a Thursday evening, and it was later in the day when we arrived, which was nice because there weren't a lot of other people there. There were lots of pumpkins in a field that was right next to a large woods. The older couple that owned the place greeted us as we entered, and then we started looking for a good pumpkin. Of course, towards the front, there were not a lot of good pumpkins. Most had been picked over. But the farther you got into the field, you could see some really nice ones. I'm not all that picky about which pumpkin to get, but my girlfriend always has to have the perfect ones. So we wandered farther and farther out until we were around the corner of the field, almost in the woods, to a more secluded area. It was sort of hidden, but when we got there, we saw there were lots of nice pumpkins, and we started looking through them all. I would say we were there for about 10 minutes, until it started to get really dark out, so we decided to wrap things up and get our pumpkins. But just as we were deciding on the last one we would get, we heard something coming from just inside the woods. We both looked over to see what was there. We saw what appeared to be the old couple standing halfway behind a tree, looking at us. But they both had really creepy smiles on their faces, and their eyes were open super wide. I really couldn't believe what I was seeing for a few seconds. I had no idea what they were doing. They just stood there staring. Finally, I said hello to them, but they didn't answer. They just slowly disappeared behind the tree and then walked deeper into the woods. My girlfriend was just as confused as me and really creeped out. We had no interest to go into the woods and see where they went. Instead, we walked back to the front of the field to the entrance. The couple was gone now, and we were the only people there. We decided to leave the pumpkins and just get out of there. We went elsewhere to get our pumpkins that year and haven't returned there since.